This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Football Friday! What's happening? TK and Tierney show on this Friday. We're looking good on the golf course. We got our picks. My boy Darnold looked good last night. Although some big injuries. Got a lot to do on this very busy day. Hopefully everybody's doing well. As always, TK and I chilling, hanging, relaxing inside of our Rocket Mortgage studio. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget, your family. Rocket can.
On the playground, shooting some hoops outside of the school.
That's right. That's right. A little Fresh Prince. Things are going well so far at Whistling Straits. Let's give you the... By the way, Brandel Chamblee, next segment, all right? We are up 3-1 in the match so far for the entire tournament. Obviously, goes through Sunday. Europe needs 14 to retain it because they obviously won last time. So we won 3-1 in the morning session. And right now, we are leading one match. We are tied in three, and Europe has a lead in none, which is really... the opposite of what's happened. Matter of fact, we've actually played very well the last couple of years. Back in 2018, we were 3-1 in the morning, but then Team Europe came out and blasted us in the afternoon 4-0.
I remember that one.
And even in 2016, we took the morning 4-0, and Europe came back 3-1. So there's a lot of golf to be played today, and obviously this weekend, but it seems at least early as if the momentum that we had in the morning has been brought over to the afternoon, which really does not happen too often.
So far, so good. Bryson DeChambeau is out there doing what Bryson DeChambeau does, hitting drives 415, 17 yards. He's paired with Phil Mickelson.
No, not Mickelson.
I wish Mickelson was playing.
Scheffler. Scotty Scheffler.
Which is cool. And now Bryson is teeing up with a 3-iron. It looks like he's got to try to sail something.
3-iron. Let's see. This will go about 296.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to dial it back a little bit, Teak.
But we'll ask Brandel Chamblee in our next segment, you know, how things are actually going out there. It looks really windy.
It has picked up a little bit. It's a little windy out there. Yep, a little bit. I was actually listening to the series broadcast on the way in, and they said that they cut the greens. They actually mowed the greens in between sessions. I mean, how much could the grass really grow in 4 hours?
I don't know.
But they said because it was getting windier, which obviously dries it out.
Yeah.
They want to give it a little bit of a different feel, blah, blah, blah. But you're right. We'll get Brandel coming up next segment. He'll really connect all the dots for us. But we look very good. Really, the only match that Europe won this morning was Rahm, who played, you know, his plays behind. That was Rahm and Sergio, which was a good energetic matchup. But we're vibing right now, team.
And that's who Bryson is up against now, John Rahm. And I don't know who his partner is, but it's a par 4, short one, and they're all driving it.
Absolutely.
It's kind of awesome.
Go for the gusto, man. So we got Brandel next, inbounds, out of bounds as well. We'll obviously get to the Rams and the Bucks in hour number two. We'll do a little something on Odell Beckham Jr. You know, Landry out, Beckham in, we'll see. College football, Dennis Dodd joins us. Chargers, Chiefs, we'll give you some time on that, of course. And Sharp Tierney rolls in. Good week, too, for our guy, 7-3. So hopefully some more winners today. All right, listen, Teak, you have said this for a long time. Long time. Mm-hmm. And I know that people hear it, and I know that our audience is intelligent. But until they actually see it come to fruition, I think it's the words for some, not all, obviously, but for some, the words don't fully resonate. And one thing that's Teaky's always said, you know, it's not, yes, who drafts you, but what's there when you get there? The offensive coordinator, the philosophy, mm-hmm. the ownership, the veteran presence, the quarterback room, the O-line, the offensive weaponry, all the things that matter. And you've espoused this for years. And last night, not that we're surprised, because everybody thought that Darnold, not everybody, but mm-hmm. some of us thought that Darnold had talent and never wavered there. But last night was a great illumination of something you've been preaching for almost a decade.
Yeah.
Almost a decade.
Yeah, it is. And but he defies my thought process that no one loves you like your mama type of thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And he, look, Sam Darnold is talented. We knew that coming out of USC. He went to, but where you go matters so much because ultimately you need good coaching. You need a good offensive line. You need talent so you can cooperatively make each other look better. And he didn't have that with the Jets. He comes to the Carolina Panthers, and it's like he's getting a first-round start all over again, first-round pick start all over again. And he looks amazing. He looks like everybody expected him to be when he left USC. And there's only one complaint, and that is he holds the ball too long. It led to a couple of strip sacks that he was able to recover. There were no turnovers in those situations, but he's trying to make plays downfield, which is encouraging if you're the Carolina Panthers, because he's not gun-shy. He's not standing in the pockets, you know, bailing out, going crazy. He's believing that his receivers are going to win or that he'll have a check down and he'll be able to make some plays happen. But it's really encouraging to watch him come back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't fit the traditional formula for comeback player of the year, but I almost feel like he's the comeback player of the year.
Hey, listen, if you can come back from Adam Gase, you should really win the award cumulatively for a decade.
I'm serious.
They should give it to you for 10 straight years.
Because think about where we thought he was. Most people, collectively.
Okay.
He's done. You know, maybe he'll have a couple of decent starts in Carolina. He's thrown for 300 yards in two straight weeks.
Yes.
He's confident throwing the football. He's athletic.
He had a 33-yard run taken back. He scored two on the ground.
Right.
We've always known. Remember what he did to Denver last year?
That's right.
In the open field, pick up Ejok 46 yards to the house.
That's right.
I mean, he did that in the Jets uniform. People forget that. He is an athlete.
He is a very good athlete.
Strong,
and
thick body.
All of the good attributes of Sam Darnold are being exposed.
Uh-huh.
Not exposed, but being highlighted in Joe Brady's offense. And it's actually fun to watch because he's such a good kid. You know what I mean?
He's a good kid.
Like he was railroaded here in New York because they stunk, and he stunk.
I think most sensible Jet fans understood.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think also a lot of Jet fans wanted a new start because of the contract, which was looming. But most Jet fans, I thought treated him fairly.
Agreed. And if they had stuck with Sam Darnold in New York for another year, we wouldn't be seeing this because they don't have the offensive line, at least not now, with the injuries that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the receiving core like they have. They don't have Christian McCaffrey, although Christian McCaffrey is hurt again.
Yeah.
He might be falling into my bad sell category.
Really?
Soft tissue injuries that happen over and over and over again are just frustrating. Last year, he had the quad injury at the beginning of the season. He tried to play through it, and ultimately, he only played in three games. Now he's got a hamstring injury. We just got the update. It's going to be at least a few weeks, whether that's two or three or five. We don't know.
Yep.
But they ruled him out immediately. They didn't even
went right to the tent that he walked
right
off.
Right to the tent and walked off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I love that they used him so much early in his career, but I feel like they used him too much early in his career.
It's possible.
I mean,
it's 100%
of snaps in a couple of games.
You've mentioned that, and that always is a number that it's impressive, but it's also terrifying.
It's stupid.
You could frame it that way, too. It's unnecessary.
Who needs to do that?
Yeah.
Right? To be out there just to take hits and run around. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, they did because they didn't have a whole lot going for him at that point. The quarterback play was subpar. The receivers before DJ Moore.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? They weren't good.
True, but Mike Davis has been on that team for a couple years now. He's not there anymore, obviously, but when Christian McCaffrey got hurt last year, he kind of stabilized the position. Like, they have talent. Like, there's professionals on that team who, even if they're not going to be utilized like Christian McCaffrey, give them some runs just to give your dudes a break.
Now they have no choice.
Now Chuba Hubbard is.
And Freeman. I thought Freeman looked good.
Royce Freeman played really well.
He played better than Hubbard, I thought.
I think he played better than Hubbard, even though Hubbard had the most number of yards. That's just a function of number of carries. But they're not going to have that same kind of dynamic. You know, Sam Darnold was, you know, look at number one, look at number two, number one read, number two read. If they're not there, just dump it down to Chris McCaffrey.
Yep.
That's not really as viable an option anymore. I mean, maybe it is, but.
No, it's not. It's just, and there was stagnation for about a quarter without McCaffrey.
That's right.
It took Sam a little while to get going again. He started very well. Then McCaffrey got hurt, and then he languished a little bit, and then he really popped, you know, once he got used to playing without McCaffrey.
Yeah, you're right.
It's an adjustment.
Look, it is an adjustment. It's a game they were supposed to win. Houston, I mean, David Mills, you know, he played great for a series.
I thought he looked okay. And Troy Aikman seemed to like him, too.
In a series. After that, he, you know,
gave up. He made some good throws.
He did, for a series.
I saw more than a good series, Teague. I got to be honest with you.
No, he had one great series. That's what I'm talking about. One great series, and they went down and scored, and then they missed the extra point, which is, I mean.
The kid who's got a good leg, too, who banged in the 55-yarder in the first half.
That's interesting.
Who was the former Panther.
Exactly. He got cut because he couldn't make it in preseason.
He's all tatted up. He's jacked up, that guy.
He is.
He's jacked.
But, I mean, Davis Mills has limitations. He has a ceiling. He played well, but he has a ceiling.
I like him more than you.
And it showed after, you know, a few series. Maybe because the Carolina Panthers defense is so good, but.
I thought the Houston Texans were playing to not lose the game. I mean, I thought once they opened things up a little, I'm not going to sit here and say Davis Mills is going to be a star. I have no idea.
Yeah,
didn't play a ton at Stanford. He's not a very good athlete. He's never going to get a ton on the ground. But I thought, and I thought Troy did a good job of really showing him going through progressions. He throws a nice ball. Mm-hmm. He throws a tight spiral.
Yeah,
so, I mean, listen, I'll tell you this, though. The officiating was horrendous last night.
Garbage.
Again, you texted us on a chain.
Yeah.
I tweeted it. It is tough to sit through these officials. They stink.
Well, from what I remember, and now maybe they have a new point of emphasis as it pertains to defensive offsides, that is lining up in the neutral zone, right? From what I remember, guys would line up in the neutral zone. The ref, the linesman would tell the guy, hey, back up.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't back up, you're going to get a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kind of a courtesy warning.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's the stupidest penalty in football.
But why would you warn? You don't warn somebody for any other penalty.
Well,
why would you do that?
Just lining up. Just the guy lining up. They do it for wide receivers as well.
Okay.
So an ex-wide receiver is out. He's like a half a foot over, the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
The referee would be saying, hey, 88, take a step back.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right?
Gotcha.
So generally, you get a warning or two, and then they'll throw the flag if you're just not paying attention.
Got it.
It was four neutral zone, lining up in the neutral zone infraction.
And I think three were on Burns.
I think you're right, but.
That just stagnates the game.
It kills it. It was so frustrating.
It was a rough game to watch.
It was very rough.
I'll tell you this. I come up, Jen's watching The Housewives, right? And, you know, I really wanted to watch Darnold. I had money on Carolina. I had a lot of things going last night. My fantasy matchup this week, a couple of guys were playing for, you know, against me. Not for me, against me. Unfortunately, of course, my opponent didn't have McCaffrey. He had DJ Moore, but whatever. It was tremendous.
He's great.
And I come up, and I win the bet, whatever. And I come up, and it's like 11:20 now. And I look at my wife. I said, you can't make this up. I said, Sam Darnold's 3-0, and he leads the league in passing. Now, he's also played a game more than everybody.
Yeah.
But it really...
He's down for 300 yards
it really
2 weeks
is,
in a row.
It's crazy, man. It is lunacy. Let me hear. What did Matt Rhule say on his new quarterback? What kind of scout report do we get from? Matt Rhule is good, by the way.
Great.
This man could coach. What does he see from Darnold last night? Here he is.
I think one thing about Sam, he has some moxie, man. I mean, he stayed in the pocket, had that long run called back, but, you know, finding Terrace on the 3rd and 12. I mean, there were some huge conversions by Sam. And again, it's him just playing within the system, but also I think he has a courageousness that. You know, he's not crossing the line going over the top. He's protecting the football and still pushing the ball down there. And
yeah, I like that. He does have moxie. And listen, moxie can sometimes get you in trouble, but moxie could also help you wiggle off the hook a little bit.
Yeah,
and you know, Darnold is still in that refinement stage where, He's got to learn to exercise some demons, and he's got to learn, you know, when it's there, go for it. When it's not, dump it down or throw it out of bounds or punt. Things that, you know, he just didn't do with the Jets because he was constantly down multiple scores and he's trying to win a game as a competitor. But, I mean, so far, so good in the laboratory of Matt Rhule and Joe Brady for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, you got to be excited if you're the Panthers. And by the way, your defense is amazing.
Yeah, but they had J.C. Horn. I thought he ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you go down the way he goes down and then you don't stand up again and you're immediately pointing at your ankle and you don't see a fracture or anything, it's clearly like an Achilles. Fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to think about it.
I think it's fortunate because he can still regain his speed.
That's right. It's just a fractured bone in his foot.
Bones, I think it is.
In his foot.
Yeah.
Which is just weird.
I'd rather have that, though, than the Achilles for a quarterback. I 100%
agree, but that's just weird.
I hear you.
22 years old.
Very weird. Very innocuous turn, too. It's not like he stepped. That was very strange.
He just fell down.
I know.
And then, I don't know. I didn't see it happen.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a hairline fracture from somewhere else previously.
Like just, what, Carson Wentz from high school or something?
Yeah, it just kind of happened.
Never know.
I don't know, but it's a big loss for them.
It is.
J.C. Horn's been playing good football for the Panthers in their secondary.
No doubt. So the Panthers, 3-0. The Texans, obviously, rebuilding. Darnold looking good. Coming up, Team USA looking good as well. We tried it yesterday. We'll try to reboot it today. Our buddy Brandel Chambly is on the grounds. He's on TV in a little bit, but he's going to carve out a nice segment for us. What did he see in the morning? What's he seen in the afternoon? How we vibing as a team? Trying to get this trophy back from Team Europe. Brandel next. Hickey and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio on this Football Friday. But you know, we're going to going to stuff it tight. Got to do some golf here. We have to. We have to the Ryder Cup, and looks like Europe's getting a little momentum here in the afternoon session after a very good showing by the homeboys in the morning session, and we need some answers. We need a sense of the course. 50,000 people on the grounds at Whistling Straits, which is amazing, and we tried to have our good buddy Brandel Chambly yesterday. He obviously tried his best. We had a little bit of an issue in terms of getting it through, but good enough to make good today as we get a little deeper into the Ryder Cup on day one. He's with us here for the Golf Channel, the great, in my opinion, and the opinion of many, by far the best analyst in the game, Brandel Chambly. Brandel, Tiki, and Tierney, how are you tonight, buddy? What's happening today?
I'm always happy to talk to you guys, certainly. But this week in particular, I got out there this morning, my wife and I, we watched the first tee, everybody go off, we kind of got in the middle of it, and I left there and I came back and watched the golf. I was like, that is the most fun first day of any event I think I've ever watched. I'm meant to be impartial. Like, I'm not meant to care who wins this thing, right? I'm just supposed to play it straight. But just being out there walking around, it was a hoot. For, you know, a year and a half, we've had no crowds. And boy, we had crowds there the other day. And it was lit up, and the golf was great. It was great. And you're right, it's getting a little tighter right now. And this thing could be, by the day's end, it could be a dead even match.
Yeah, and the winds are you know, right off the water. That's going to be interesting. I mean, the 17th is about 220, 222. Got some teeth there. Par fives, drivable par fours. I mean, listen, on paper, we're far superior. We all know that. And that's why we're prohibitive favorites to win this thing. I don't know the answer to this. I mean, I could recite history. I know that in 2016, we got off to a good start in the morning. Europe, you know, just thrashed us in the second session. 2018, we start out quickly. Boom. They come back, maybe have a few pints at lunch, and they start playing better golf in the afternoon. Like, what is the dynamic between us starting quickly and then Team Europe always rallying in the afternoon?
Well, it could probably just be as simple as guys getting ahead of themselves and, knowing that they're the better team on paper and having the lead and maybe just getting a little bit complacent. You can never really count out the European team. We only need to think back to 2012 to know that. I mean, they came back from 10-6 down and made it look like nothing, and they did it on foreign soil. So doubly hard to do that. So, you know, they're on paper. They're really nowhere near the U.S. team. I said the other day, the last time I looked at teams with this kind of disparity in ball striking, world rank, and home course one, not the other, it was 2009 President's Cup, which I kind of thought would be over on Saturday, and it almost was over on Saturday.
Yeah.
This one, I don't think it's going to be over on Saturday by any stretch of the imagination, but I certainly have said all week I think the U.S. will win by 2, 3, 4 points.
Well, let's hope for the good guys that happens. Brando, you know, it looks really windy out there. And I don't think, I mean, these guys are used to this, so it's not going to really affect them. But what kind of effect is it going to have on the conditions of the course?
Well, the course is brutal, first of all. I mean, you catch it on a calm day, it's brutal. So, but it's right on Lake Michigan. It blows here pretty much every single day. Typically, when the wind blows, the better ball strikers have a chance to separate themselves. So we can now differentiate players based upon 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 20, and over 20-mile-an-hour winds. We have those metrics. And you can type all that in, and the gap between the Europeans and the United States even gets wider. Everybody loves to say the Europeans are better at links golf, better in the wind. That's a myth. It doesn't play out. It's like at the Open Championship, okay? That's links golf. It was windy. There were 6 Americans in the top 10, including Colin Morikawa, one. There was only one European in the top 10, and that was John Rahm. So the Europeans are better ball strikers, the United States are better ball strikers. And when it gets windy, it gets more difficult, and the better ball strikers can separate themselves. The way to have the most parity is to have a soft golf course with no wind. The way to have the least parity, where you have players that separate themselves, is you have a hard golf course with wind, and that's what's shaping up right now.
That's really interesting. That is a misnomer that quite frankly, I've subscribed to for years. I just always assumed, I've heard it my whole life. Europeans are used to playing in blustery conditions. I've heard that whole life.
It certainly may well have been the case in previous eras and under certain years, but right now,
gotcha.
With the likes of a Justin Thomas, a Colin Morikawa, or Brooks Koepka, and you go down the list and you start to stack up these great ball strikers and iron players, you're like, okay, Europe has, I'm not saying Europe doesn't have great players. They do. But U.S. is a click above it.
Gotcha. Brando Chambly, Golf Channel, of course, our good buddy with us, Aaron Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Now, I know that he tried to defuse it. For the most part, he did, I guess. But there was a little controversy that followed Mr. Koepka into the press tent. And, you know, Zinger said, hey, basically, if you don't want to be here, give up your spot. We know he's a world-class player. What do you sense his demeanor to be around the course, for a team sport? And obviously, golf is never a team sport outside of these few days in the President's Cup and the Walker Cup. Like, what do you see from Koepka disposition-wise?
Well, you know, he said he didn't mean it was bad. He said he meant it was different, that the media spun it that way. But the actual quote was a verbatim quote. The media didn't spin it. It was a verbatim quote.
Correct.
Where he even talked about when you're playing a team event with a partner and they put you in a bad spot, and he inferred as if it was hard to put up with. That was everybody's take. It wasn't one person's take. It wasn't a biased person's take. So from that, you'd think, well, okay, it's an inconvenience a bit to play in the Ryder Cup. And to say it's different is to state the obvious. Of course it's different. It's a team event. Golf's an individual sport. Having said that, you know, he's monstrously talented. and played fine. He missed a few putts in his match, but otherwise he played fine. But I mean, for the most part, this morning was DJ and Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele. This is alternate shot, tough golf course, and they were five under par through, you know, 15, 16 holes. It's hard to shoot one or two under par in alternate shot. And then, you know, the team of Westwood, Fitzpatrick, they only made one birdie. They didn't play well. Rory and Ian Poulter didn't play well. And that was the difference. But Brooks Koepka, you know, I think his competitive juices will light up, because he's sort of backed himself into a corner where if he doesn't perform, everybody's going to look at him like, well, clearly you just didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the pressure's like major championship pressure.
Yeah. You know, Brando, BTN and both have both played in tournaments where it's a scramble or it's alternate shot or it's four ball, whatever it may be. For these professionals, which one of these formats is the most challenging? I imagine four ball is the easiest because it's just like they're on regular tour day. But what's the hardest for these guys to play?
Well, foursomes, because you know everybody has different impact characteristics, launch characteristics, and they get so fine tuned that they know their numbers perfectly. They know what all their equipment is set up for their launch angles and spin rates, but they have to adjust to other players' golf balls in foursomes. So other players are going to have different spin rates, lower spin, higher spin, lower launch, higher launch. So they have to adjust to their golf ball. So they have to go out there and play a different golf ball pretty much every other hole, which doesn't, it not only affects, you know, your tee shots and your approach shots, it affects your chips and your putts and all that. So that's one. And the other is just getting in the rhythm of foursomes. Europe plays foursomes as, you know, a lot of, certainly the Britons, they play foursomes as just natural course day in and day out. So it's pretty alien to the United States. But having said that, they've played brilliantly in foursomes over the last four or five Ryder Cups.
Hey, Brando, what is your read? It's early, but your early read on the captaincy from Steve Stricker. I mean, listen, if guys aren't striping the ball and making putts, it doesn't matter what you do. But there's still a methodology to being a good captain before the event, but also during the event. What are you seeing from Strick?
Well, if you've ever met him, he's the nicest, humblest, quiet, but a leader, a quiet leader. I played with Steve Stricker. One of his first tour events was the Canadian Open. I got paired with him. I got paired with him a couple of other events when I'm not even sure he was on the tour. He was just getting sponsored exemptions, and he was playing himself into like the final groups of tournaments. And even then, you could sense there was something different about the guy. He had a great character and a lot of class. And I think that sort of quiet leadership is what Ben Crenshaw brought to the team, kind of what Paul McGinley brought to his European team. You know, these guys, it's easy enough to say, hey, they're great players. You can just say, there's the first tee, get after it. But I do think that a team takes on the sort of leadership qualities of those that are in place to lead them.
Yeah.
And they're not going to say the wrong thing. They're not going to say something that's going to cause controversy, I don't think. They're not going to say something that gives added incentive to their opponents. The United States has fallen victim to that many times. And I think because he also brought Fred Couples into the locker room, I think Fred's a great influence because the U.S. team is just tight. And having Stricker and Couples in there, I think, is going to keep the guys loose. And that's what Europe does. They play with great intensity, but they also play with great levity.
Yeah, no, that's how you got to be. I mean, yes, there's a lot at stake here, but it is still a game, and it's fun. It should be fun at this point. Who from Team USA should we be looking for to potentially have that day? I know Colin Morikawa, who you mentioned earlier, this is his first Ryder Cup, correct? And he hadn't been playing well, but you know, I was reading leading up into this Ryder Cup that he's actually feeling like he's quote unquote back. Who should we look for to have a surprisingly good weekend?
Well, it's not often that you get a rookie in a Ryder Cup who's won two major championships. So, you know, Colin Morikawa has it all, especially if the wind is blowing. But the team of the biggest surprise in the afternoon was that they split the team, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele. I got to admit, that I didn't see that coming. And I did not see them. I mean, I know that they got to get the four guys that set this morning. They had to get them out there. Scotty Scheffler, Finau, Bryson DeChambeau, Harris English, they got to get them out there. But I just couldn't imagine setting Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay. I thought they'd go, you know, all four team matches and boat race everybody. And I was a little surprised they set Colin Morikawa. So that team, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, and foursomes, you know, they'll pick up right where they left off, I have no doubt. But I think Colin Morikawa could very well be the star for the U.S. at the end of the week.
There we go. And Finau's squad just picked up a hole, so they're all even with that match. This is going to be all sorts of action, a lot of twists and turns. The expectations to win, and if we don't, there will be, I don't know if there will be repercussions, but there will be some swift criticisms. You know, this is, again, prohibitive favorites. It's like a heavyweight fighter who's supposed to win and he doesn't win. People are going to want to know why. And maybe what you just talked about with Cantlay not being out there, you know, that's something that we could revisit. Hopefully we don't have to, but we'll be watching. Love the coverage. You know that. We all do. Great stuff, Brandel. Really appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks so much. It's always fun talking to you guys. And I look forward to talking to you guys somewhere soon down the road.
Most no certainly. Doubt. Nobody better. There he is, Brandel Chamblee. From the Golf Channel. All right, let's get the update. Kevin Dexter's on top of that. After Inbounds, Out of Bounds. So, little change to the NFL playoff format. And do we like it or do we not? After Dexter, we'll tell you. Update right now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. In a little bit, not yet, coming up at 4 Eastern, TV joins us. Time to ask the pros here before we get to Inbounds, Out of Bounds. And let's give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. We will go through them, take the best one, handle them on air, address it on air, mock you on air if it's a bad one. Then again, if it's bad, we wouldn't pick it. So also give you some props, too. So go shoot them into at CBS Sports Radio. Make sure you listen later on. We'll handle it for you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from O'Reilly Auto Parts. I was just telling Teak about our day tomorrow. 8 o'clock soccer parade, 9:30 soccer game, 11 o'clock soccer game for my daughter, 3 o'clock football game. Tonight, football practice, the install.
Nice. They only install one day before?
Well, they're first and second graders.
Yeah, it's true.
You know.
Still. How many practices a week?
They go, well, it was 4 for the first 3 weeks. Now it's down to 3.
All right.
It's a lot.
It is a whole lot.
And then we got baseball
but
on Sunday.
But I guess, I mean, all these kids, including Cole, were mm-hmm. playing football for the first time.
No, because it's first and second graders. Colton's in first. So there's a bunch of second graders who have played before.
I see. I got you.
You know, there's only a couple of first graders on the team, but then again, even was there? I don't think there was a league last year because of COVID.
So maybe.
But I think some of the kids had played. They played somewhere alone. There were a few kids that are in second grade that played.
Yeah,
but it's busy weekend, like everybody.
No, I'm just saying the reason you had so many practices is because these kids just need to learn the fundamentals of the game.
Hey, you know I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Get you behind on the field. Get after it. Daddy's got no problem with that. As long as mommy keeps taking them, because daddy's got to work. I'm sure mommy wishes maybe it was only 2 days a week.
Come home tired.
You know? All right, inbounds, out of bounds. You ready to roll? See what we got?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Ah, number one, the NFL expanding the playoffs. How about this? The 12 to 14 teams with six games happening on wild card weekend, which, by the way, is my favorite weekend. Everybody says conference championship Sunday. I've always been a wild card weekend guy. Even last year, remember the Bills Colts game, the first one? Rivers had a chance to. Something about wild card weekend I love. Anyway, now the league's announced five of the wild card games will occur on Saturday and Sunday as usual, but one game's going to be played on Monday night. Ian Rappaport had this last night during the game. They showed the tweet. Back in 2003, the NFL eliminated Monday night games in the final week of the season to avoid playoff teams playing on short rest. So the question is this, Teak, in or out, it is unfair to play a wild card game on a Monday night.
No, absolutely not. This is out of bounds, BT. I think this is fantastic. I think it just heightens the thrill for the guys that are playing in the game. Because even though it's not the traditional Monday night, and it won't be exclusively on ESPN, it can go to any of the networks. That's still be determined. I think it's the standalone game makes it actually that much more exciting, right? And to smash all those games that are so important onto one day,
yes,
that doesn't make sense.
I'm with you.
So this is great. I love this.
I totally love it. I love it. I love it. My answer's out of bounds as well. It's not unfair. The one thing that I would do, I'm going to throw a caveat in there. If you want to reward the teams that achieve the most from week one through week, I guess it's 18 weeks with the bye, but 17 games here. I would like to have the lowest ranked of the wild card teams play on Monday night so that there's a little bit of a penalty. Whomever advances, there's a quicker turnaround, and there's a little bit of a built-in reward for the team
that makes sense.
You know, that achieved more during the regular season, but I love it. Standalone games, Monday night. You're right, it's not Monday Night Football. It's going to be bigger.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see it. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, take the Bulls. Chicago made some pretty nice upgrades this offseason. Added Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, and DeMar DeRozan after dealing for Nikola Vucevic during the season last year. Of course, they got him from the Orlando Magic. Now, their star, Zach LaVine, enters the final year of his deal. 21-2021 All-Star admitted to ESPN that the team's success will impact his free agent decision. He said, quote, "At the end of the day, it's a business. They did what's best for the team. This season's going to be extremely crucial, not just for me, but for everybody. Winning would take care of everything." And, quote, "The Bulls do need to reach at least the second round this year for LaVine to stay."
I mean, I'm going to say out of bounds because I know he's talking about, you know, success and competing for a championship, but you never know what could happen midway through the season that they work out a deal that just makes him excited to be around, or he starts to develop some chemistry with some of these guys that they've added in the offseason that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many things that can factor into his decision to want to stay in Chicago. I mean, he's so young. I don't think he's at the point in his career where he's desperate to win a championship. So if things start to go in the right direction, I think something less than the second round – he would still stay.
So
I'm going to say out of bounds.
I don't know how to answer this because I don't know what's in his heart. I would slightly disagree with the assertion that he's not yet at that stage because, you know, he was drafted back in 2014. People forget that. He didn't play long in college. And, you know, a couple of years with the Timberwolves.
How old is he?
He's 20. He's going to be 27 this season, which is not old. But the way the question is worded, you know, for him to stay, he'd have to feel very comfortable because that next contract takes him into his to 30. And then at that point, it's absolutely go time if you don't have a championship. Not that he couldn't do a one plus a one player option. I mean, there's ways to manipulate it.
Which is what all the guys do.
Which is what he might do here. I'll say out of bounds because I'm not exactly sure what he's thinking. But, I mean, Zach LaVine, I don't know if people realize he shot 42% from downtown last year. Hmm. Like, people associate him with just as a high flyer. 85% from the free throw line, 42% from downtown, and 51% overall. His efficiency and his explosiveness, I think he's very close to being a superstar. Now, superstars need to elevate, and I think that the franchise that they play for, I think that happens this season. Big fan of LaVine, out of bounds, but I'm not sure what he's going to do past this season.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, the NL West is stacked, as we know. The Giants, the Dodgers, Padres have a lot of talent as well. But down in the cellar, how about this? The Diamondbacks, they've already lost 104 games. They're an insane 50 games behind. 50 behind first place. Now, despite the terrible season, they've given their skipper, Torey Lovullo, a one-year extension, all right, with a club option for 2023. Now, remember, he started pretty well his first 3 years with the D-backs. He was 260 and 226, so almost 40 games above 50%, which is great. But the last couple of years, it's gone crooked, 75 and 139. Last year, COVID, so factor that in, plus just an obvious dearth of talent. We are okay with the D-backs retaining Lovullo despite the disastrous season.
Yeah, I'm going to say inbounds.
By the way, what happened? Yeah, you pumped your hand with the Ryder Cup. Who drained a punt?
Bryson.
Nice.
Just drained a putt. U.S. leads that match now.
USA.
USC leads two.
I got money on that duo as well. Let's go.
And one is tied.
Let's go.
I'm going to say inbounds of this, BT. Lovullo, yes. While, you know, hasn't been good this past season and even a couple years, a season before, but I think we've forgotten a little bit how devastated Major League Baseball teams were due to COVID. Like the finances, and to go out and find do the process of getting a new manager, hiring a search firm, whatever it may be, and then hiring someone else for probably an accelerated number. They're just not in a position to win yet. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're doing the smart fiscal thing by holding on to Lovullo. It may not be great for the team, but there's still a reset that's going on in baseball right now because of last year's COVID situation.
I don't even look at the finances. I look at how does the veteran manager enter, and he's not even old because he played, but how does he interact with the young kids? What's the imprint in the locker room? What about player development? Listen, I'm not going to sit here and say I watched the Diamondbacks. I don't. I don't think I had anybody. Actually, I had Madison Bumgarner on my fantasy team, and I may have dropped him after April. His ERA was like 8. So I watched a few of his starts. They don't have a whole lot. No. Obviously, Goldschmidt's gone with St. Louis. They don't have many players. So I'm not watching the Diamondbacks. But if they I believe it's less financially driven is what I'm saying. And I believe that they're actually a pretty decent franchise despite the last couple of years. And I think their instincts are their young players are getting better. And they also know that there's no window right now to compete with the Dodgers. I don't think they expected the Giants to be this good. But the money that the Padres spent, they realized the window is in 2 years or so, maybe. And when these young players, you know, bear the fruits of the coaching and they come to fruition and they max out what they're going to be as players, I think we might look back on this and say they made a pretty savvy decision keeping somebody who seems to fit despite the last couple of years.
Are you in or are you out?
For years, advertising's found new ways to creep into sports, whether it is on the court in terms of logos or the fields, the stadiums, the bowl naming rights, even patches on NBA jerseys. Well, now the NHL's joined the fun as the Washington Capitals became, I mean, it makes sense, the Capitals, right? I mean, you may as well, I mean, there's a perfect name, Capital. You gotta capitalize on the money out there. There's a lot. They became the first hockey team to sell advertising on jerseys, all right? They partnered with Caesars Entertainment, and they put a Caesars Sportsbook logo on the jersey in or out. It's a bad look for teams to have sportsbook logos on the jerseys.
I'm going to say out of bounds to that, BT. I think it's becoming so mainstream and you know, part of the lexicon in sports. You got organizations, teams, sports organizations partnering with sports books and leagues doing the same thing, trying to get their piece of the pie. So I'm going to say out of bounds. I do not think it's a bad look.
Oh, I think it's reacting to the times here. We got no problem with this at all. Now, I don't love the way it makes the uniforms very busy.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan of that. Although if it's properly placed, yeah. I mean, it's not going to be
European
the biggest deal.
European football is that way. Right,
yeah, but, like,
but,
really,
but their jerseys are busy.
They're very busy. Speaking of jerseys, I'm going to wait for TV to get into that stamp. I want everybody to see that.
We got said it at the top of the show too.
Little Breckenridge matchup coming up this week. He looks like a small candy cane. That's what Samter looks like in that jersey. But I think that mini candy cane. I think that this is smart. Anybody out there, like, what is the difference? Like, if you're watching a game on a regional network, like I watch Yes and SNY all the time. And SNY, not now because the Mets are done, but, you know, I'm always watching the Yankees, right? Always watching the Knicks, MSG, watching the Nets on Yes, right? And you see these commercials during the games. So, what is the difference? What do they think? Oh, there's a logo on the right winger's jersey. He might be compelled to go and place a bet at the end of the first period. I mean, come on.
No, you're right.
Makes no sense.
The commercial is actually more influential than
more in your face.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, prompting you to quit. Here's the number. Here's the website. Here's the Twitter account. No big deal. Out of bounds. Make that money.
Yeah.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Samter's very talkative today. What
He's
is he saying about there?
Kane, Vander Kane, being is that his first name? Son of Kane getting accused of betting on the Sharks.
Oh yeah, that was a huge story about 6-7 weeks ago. Yep. That was huge. We mentioned it on the show.
He was just recently it cleared, right? They found no evidence that he actually bet on.
And he actually came out and aggressively denied that.
You're right. Which he had to do.
Of course.
Which he had to do anyways, but now that he's been vindicated in a sense.
Exonerated. He's good to go.
Yeah.
Yep. Good player. Captain.
Yep.
Yeah, good player.
I'm just saying it'd be a weird look amidst a gambling potential scandal because they didn't say that he didn't do it. They just didn't find evidence that he did do it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, it's just iffy.
We got TV coming back, huh? TV. So no more international swimming. The International Swimming League has ended, and they're going to pick up Tiki and Tierney again.
They are.
Is that what it was, swimming today? It was swimming. Hour two coming up. How about the Rams and the Bucks? What do we expect from Stafford next?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.